Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the fourth Sunday of the season of Holy Lent, and we read today the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, which is the reading of the Samaritan woman. There is something special about the passage of the Samaritan woman, but what makes this passage special is not indicated in the text. You can't understand the meaning and the beauty behind this passage unless you first understand the history that exists between the Jews and the Samaritans. When St. John decides to write this gospel, he puts a word in the middle of one of the sentences that is so important for us to understand. He says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria." He needed to go through Samaria. You see, there's something very important about this. When we say that the Lord needs to do something, we're saying that God is insisting that something must be done. We're indicating that the desire of the Lord's heart is that He must do something in order for Him to fulfill or accomplish His expression of love to us. He needed to go through Samaria, but Jews don't go through Samaria. As a matter of fact, Jews hated Samaritans so much that in order for them to leave Judea and to go to Galilee, they would detour around Samaria. It is much shorter to go right through it. But instead, Jews would go around it with the insistence of not having any dealings with Samaritans. And the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans is something that runs long before the Lord Jesus Christ. To understand this history, you have to know what happened with the Jews when they were taken into exile. We know that when the Jews were taken and forced to go to Babylon, Jerusalem was left almost empty. But what most of us don't know is that there were some Jews that were left behind. Not every Jew was taken into exile. Not every Jew was taken as a slave. You see, Babylon only took those that they could use as good slaves, as people that they can sell. And so they left behind the elderly and the sick and those that they felt had no use. So some of the Jews were left behind in Jerusalem. But they could not manage the great city of Jerusalem when the majority of the people were taken into exile. So those few people who were left, who were authentically Jews, had to find a way for them to live now that so many of their neighbors and their brothers and sisters were taken into captivity into Babylon. And so some of them moved over to the area where Samaria is, where there is fertile ground. And when they went to that fertile ground and they met other people, they intermarried with those people and they lived there for those 70 years. And so during those 70 years, those who were Jews and who were left behind now found themselves having mixed, if you wish, with people who were not authentically or 100% Jews. But then the Jews come back after the captivity. And when the Jews come back to Jerusalem after the period of exile, they begin to rebuild the city. And so who comes back to try to help them? Those who were among them but were left behind. And those who came from Samaria to come and help the Jews were not greeted with love, but on the contrary were greeted with hatred. Because they were told, "You are half-breeds. You took the race and the blood of the Jews and you mixed it with those who were not Jews, and so you are half-breeds. You are not like us anymore." And they cast the Samaritans out. Ever since then, there was enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so the Samaritans, who believed themselves to be authentically Jews also, built for themselves their own temple. And now you have this clash that exists between brothers and sisters. Because some believed that that they had sold themselves over to another group. And so the Samaritans feel justified and the Jews feel justified. But ever since then, Jews and Samaritans don't speak and they don't deal with each other, and there is conflict between them. And the Jews would refuse to have any dealings with them. The Jews would treat Samaritans as if they were animals. They would treat them as if they were people who rebelled against God and who betrayed their nation. Now Jesus says that he needed to go through this Samaria. Jesus says that he needed to go and meet with these half-breeds, these animals that the Jews hate, these people who are supposedly the ones who rebelled against the Jewish nation. He needed to go and see those who had turned their backs on their own people. What's interesting is that when you listen to the words of the conversation that happened between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, you discover that this woman knows something about the faith. You see, she's not an atheist. She's not a pagan. It's not like she believes in a different God. She is capable of speaking to him about the very history of the patriarchs of Jerusalem, the patriarchs of the people of the Jews. She knows the history of Israel, and she's even looking forward to the arrival of the Messiah. She's not a person who is foreign. She's not a person who doesn't understand who the Messiah is. She has a hope that the Messiah would come and save them as well. But yet she is treated by the people of the Jews as if she was worse than a pagan, worse than an atheist. What's even worse for this Samaritan woman is that she's even hated by her own people. According to the reading of the gospel, we know that she goes to get her water in the middle of the day. But this was not the custom. You don't go and get water in the middle of the day, especially if you're going to be carrying heavy water pots back to the city. The time that was appointed for people to go get water was always early in the morning, when the sun was still cool and it was not so hot that the travel would be difficult. But she would not go when it was crowded. She refused to go at a time where she would have to come face to face with the very people who sinned against her and who hated her. She would go when there was no one at the well. She would go when she wasn't confronted by anyone. And now the well becomes a reminder for her of the struggle that she has to face because of her choices. The struggles and the conflicts that she has to face in her own life because of her sin. You see, every single one of us has a well in our life. Something that we hate but we keep turning back to. Something that we feel like we cannot distance ourselves from. And yet at the same time, we keep going back to it. And it's a reminder of our brokenness. It's a reminder of the sin that is in our life. And it's a reminder of how hated we are. Now, the well in my life could be very different from the one that was in the life of the Samaritan woman. The well in my life could be my addiction. It could be a substance, it could be a person, it could be a passion. It could be my greed, my anger, my lust. It could be alcohol, it could be cigarettes, it could be money. All of these things can be the well in my life that I feel like I need to do something about this. It's destroying me, and yet I keep going back to it. And every time I keep going back to it, it's a reminder of just how broken I am. And I hate it, but I can't say no to it. I hate it, but yet I seem to love it. And I hate this confusion that is within me. And I hate this conflict that is within me. I want to hate this thing so much that I finally give it up. I no longer want to be a person who is always angry. I no longer want to be a person who is constantly addicted to any sort of lust. I no longer want to be a person who is given over to greed and envy and money. I no longer want to be a person who is unforgiving. But yet every time I tell myself I no longer want it, as soon as the opportunity arises, I go back to it. She goes to the well feeling like she has no choice. She goes to the well because she is dependent on it. And she has to go at a time that reminds her of just how broken she is. And who needed to go and see her? Christ. Who needed to go and sit right next to the well in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, and wait for her? Her Savior. The lover of her soul goes and waits for her in that place where she is most broken. Is this not the story of every human being who encounters Christ? When do I feel most loved by God? When I am a good boy? When I am a good girl? Do I feel most loved when I feel like I am righteous? Or do I feel most loved when I am at my worst and He comes to me in my brokenness? We don't believe in a God who says, I can't deal with you in your filth. I can't come to you in the brokenness of your humanity. When you get better, you come to me. This is not the God that we believe in. We believe in a God who comes down to us in our most broken state. In the worst possible condition of our hearts and souls, this is where He meets us. This is where He expresses His love to us. This is where He says, I needed to come to you. So what solution does He offer her? He tells her, what if I can give you something where you no longer needed this well? What if I can give you so that you no longer have to come back to this place that reminds you of your brokenness? What if I can heal you so you are never again a subject or a slave to sin? What if I can give you a spring of water flowing inside you so you never have to come here at noonday again? She hears this and she says, give it to me. I'm afraid that if He offered me this, I would tell Him, I'll tell you what, Lord, let me just finish this summer. Because I hate the well, but the well is nice in the summer. I like my well during this period. سيبني أعيش حياتي بس شوية كده بعد كده تبقى تيجي إيه تيجي تنقذني بس شبني بس الفترة دي. Just leave me this small period. Let me just enjoy this last little period. And then I'll come to you. And then I'll take you up on your offer. You know what's beautiful about the Samaritan woman? Is that when she heard that there was a solution, she wanted it immediately. Did you know that the Samaritan woman is known in the Orthodox tradition as Saint Futini? Saint Futini becomes an evangelist not only to the Samaritans. She is baptized by the disciples. She follows the apostles. She ends up standing in front of the emperor, and she is martyred for the sake of Christianity. And her name that was given to her, Futini, means the one who is enlightened, the one who the light has touched. This is the Samaritan woman that we speak of. She is enlightened not because she sat with Christ. She is enlightened because she accepted Christ. The Lord comes to me in my brokenness and sits with me at the well where I am a slave. And He says, receive from me the water that I want to give you. Allow me to fill you with my Holy Spirit so that everything about you can be transformed. Allow me to give to you this Holy Spirit so that you no longer depend on anything, but rather you are only a servant and a disciple to God Almighty. But sometimes I'm afraid of doing this. Sometimes I'm afraid of what it means for me to surrender. Sometimes I know that if I say yes to God, that means I have to say no to a whole bunch of other things. And I am afraid of what it means when I have to say no to everything else. You speak to some of our young people, and they'll tell you, Abuna, let me just live my youth. Let me enjoy this period. Let me go ahead and do what people of my age do. And there will be time for repentance. And so what do we typically say? We typically say, Habibi, you don't know when your time is. Tomorrow you could be crossing a street and a bus will hit you. But that's not the answer. The answer is not hurry and come to Christ because you might die tomorrow. The answer is not hurry and come to Christ because you should be afraid of what will happen if you go to Him and you're not ready. The truth is that the vast majority of our youth will live a long and healthy life. May the Lord grant it to them. The truth is that not many people crossing the street get hit by a bus. The truth is that the reason I should leave everything behind and follow Him is because of who He is and the love that He has for me. The truth is that I should leave these things because they want to make a slave out of me. The truth is that the well takes pleasure in making me her servant. We don't speak of the spiritual reality. We need to understand that every sin that is found in my life is not interested in pleasing me. Every sin is only interested in making me a slave. Every sin is only interested in making sure that I lose myself and my identity. The truth is that you cannot come to Christ if you are a slave. To think that one day you will wake up and be able to remove your own shackles is foolish. If the opportunity is presented to me today to give up the well, to leave the jars of water, and to follow Him, and this is to accept freedom. This is to accept life. This is to become a servant of the truth and a servant of the light. To become like Fotini. To be enlightened. But there are many of us who are afraid of what it means to come to the light. When we come to the light, we are seen for who we are. But this should not scare us. This should make us like the Samaritan woman who, when she finally gets a taste of what it means for her to embrace the truth, when she finally meets a real Jew, one who is chosen by God, when she comes face to face with Christ Almighty, she forgets the conflict of the Jews. She forgets the problems with the Samaritans. She even forgets her own sin. And what does she do? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I have ever done. Could this be the Christ?" And then they all went out of the city and came to Him. Do you know what it means for her to leave her water pot? It means she's done. Those were the instruments of slavery that made her go to the well. She's done. No more. Do you know what it means for her to go back into the city and speak to the men? Those are the same people that she avoided. Those are the same people that she balanced her entire life around to make sure that she would never come face to face with them. She goes to them and she becomes an apostle. She becomes an evangelist. She becomes an icon of Christ to them. They came to see Christ only because of her. This is what happens to the Christian person who says, "I am done with the well. I am done with the jars of water. I only want you." Why does the church read this passage to us during Lent? Why is the church telling you and me that He needed to come and give this message to you? And when I say you, I'm not talking about us globally, communally, as one big family. I'm talking about you personally. Why are you sitting here hearing this for the first time? Why are you hearing this message personally today? Because He's sitting with you at your well. Because He is telling you today, leave your jars behind and become the one who is enlightened. Become Futini. There is nothing, nothing more worth it than Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No amount of money, no success in the world, no titles, no bachelors, no masters, no PhDs, no relationships, no health, no wealth, no comfort. Nothing, nothing comes close to how it is that we should desire to be with Christ. It is now up to us to leave our jars behind. It is now up to us to become futini to those who are around us. It is now time for us to recognize that because He sits with us and He offers us a solution, we need to choose Him over the well. The end of the gospel today says the following. Then they said to the woman, these are the men who came to Him, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Those who came to Christ because of her, those who avoided her and mocked her, those who tried to put her down in her life because of her sin, they reconciled with the Jew. They forgot that they were Samaritan. They called Him the Savior of the world. How many people would come to Christ if I put my jars down? How many people would come to Christ if I stopped going to my well? How many of my family members, my wife, my husband, my children, my brothers and sisters, my co-workers, my neighbors, how many of them would come to Christ because I have become enlightened, because I have become futini? The message of the gospel to us is clear today. Use this period of Lent, become enlightened, put down your jars, and choose Him. May the One who granted a solution and expressed His love and needed to go to the Samaritan woman also be the One who comes and who needs to come and sit with us for our own salvation. To Him be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.